This is a Storage Switzerland podcast.
With a Meet the CEO, hi, Charlie Hodges and George Crump with you on this edition, which features James Quigley. He's the Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of Canvas. James, tell us a little bit about your company.
Well, first of all, thanks, Charlie, for inviting me. Canvas, basically what we do is we've created a platform that allows organizations to replace paper-based processes with a digital data collection process that they can fill out on a form. So what does that mean? It basically means replacing paper forms, automating those with a process that can live and exist not only on a mobile device, but then can be sent back to the cloud, and the data can be shared with your customers and within your company, and then you can learn something very quickly about your business and without needing to have a developer and then a process at all. The entire process could be managed from soup to nuts using departments and groups that get business done.
What kind of paper forms are we talking about here?
So imagine I'll sort of personify that for you in the following fashion. When someone comes to your house and fixes something, repairs something, estimates something, they typically will leave you behind one of those lovely, I think they're called goldenrod is the official color, goldenrod copies of what they did.
The copy they give to you, and then five they take back to the office. Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. And, like car colors, there's no such thing as red and blue. They have to call it something else. So goldenrod. Anyway, so you typically throw that into a folder that sits next to your refrigerator. Maybe you throw it in a folder. It just sits in a drawer. Effectively, those are the that's a process that you see. But imagine that there are billions of other processes that you don't see. It's just the last place on the planet that has not been digitized.
Why did you see this need? Is it that it was the last bastion on the planet that hasn't been digitized? What led you to say, hey, let's go here?
Me and the team we put together here had been in the mobile and wireless space always for businesses for quite a long time. And we were hearing the same thing from organizations. And what we found was the reason why this hadn't been automated, well, first of all, the way people were doing this in the past was, hey, can I build a custom mobile application to meet my business's needs? Well, you know, for most companies, that's really hard to do and extremely expensive.
Yeah.
Very expensive. So you might find the UPSs, certainly they were one of the first guys, came to your door with that, what they call the dyad, and you'd sign that and you'd get a digital receipt back. But other than companies like that, it was really cost prohibitive and just really challenging. So then what would come out is productized solutions, which required an IT department to make a decision that, hey, I'm a construction company. Here's a product that automates my construction business. It's not exactly what I do, but it's built for my business, and an IT department would make that decision to roll that out. And well, those were expensive too. But on top of that, they weren't great fits, and they required an IT department to make a decision on that. What our product allowed organizations to do, kind of like what was happening with Slack and Box and products like that, was, I run a sales group. I run a service group. Boy, I would love to automate this, but I do not want to have to lean on my IT department. I just want to look at this like a tool. So imagine on a mobile device, if you replace these manual processes and you're using your mobile device instead of a form, well, you can do a lot more than you could do certainly on paper. You can grab pictures. You can grab your location. You can barcode scan the products and come back with the price. You can kind of like what happened with Kindle versus books is that you could do what you can do on a book, which is to read it, but you could also have a thesaurus there in a dictionary. You could find out which authors, the same sort of elements of adding incremental value that you could do things you just couldn't do before. The other half of what we do is we provided a community that could share the things that they've built on our platform openly. You don't have to share what you've built on our platform, but we We motivate you and ask you if you would, as well as we have a whole bunch of partners who are digitizing things that have just been never digitized before and putting it on our platform. So we've got over somewhere between 18 and 19,000 pre-built experiences. So if you're a plumber, and yeah, the tool is really, really simple, but you'd love to find out what other plumbers are using, you could type in plumbing work order, mm-hmm. or you could type in pest control estimate. You could find something that was pre-built on our platform. And because it's pre-built on our platform, you can change it, you can customize it, and it automatically works on the devices that your employees have out in the field without having to know which devices your employees have, which is, you know, today's do-it-yourself, you know, bring your own device world. Many companies just aren't buying devices for their team anymore.
George Crump is with us on the line. George.
Hey, James. How you doing?
Great, George. How are you?
Doing pretty good. So this is really interesting. So one of the things that we had talked about is sort of shadow IT and the concept of, you know, people kind of doing it themselves with IT. How does your guys' product help with that problem?
Yep. So, and I think there's a general perception that which you fear must be bad, right? Or there's that which is unknown becomes fearful, becomes feared, and I think we're seeing that happen with everything from education and technology, which, you know, a lot of schools, with the rate of technology increase, schools sort of will push back against kids bringing in their own devices, and hey, what about the iPhone? And you see that happening in technology, is that the speed at which things are changing, it's near impossible for an IT department to fully keep up. And because there's a lot of things they want to evaluate, and they typically have had a lot longer to make these types of evaluations. So, hey, a brand new operating system's coming out on a laptop. And so let's take a look at that. Let's spend 6 months considering and evaluating and determining. And this is the sort of time frames people are used to. But the rate at which technology is changing is making it such that the standard process in which IT uses for evaluating brand new technology is actually becoming prohibitive. And what happens then with a lot of organizations, and we hear this every day from very large organizations, and actually from IT departments, is that, hey, because of our normal processes that we've embraced over, you know, many, many years, that our departments and divisions are asking for the latest and greatest technology. And because we can't deliver it to them, suddenly large organizations start taking a hit on their innovation. So, a younger, faster moving organization who can quickly iterate on what they're doing may deploy some piece of technology that provides some differentiation for them, with a larger company's going, you know what, let's wait, we're going to take a look at this. Well, that normally hadn't been a problem, but now it could be two iterations, three iterations of changes happening before this large company is even looking at the first iteration. Things are just happening so fast. So what happens is innovation takes a large hit. And you hear this from organizations all the time, where they go, we stopped being innovative because it's challenging for us. We just can't keep up. So what's happening is that it's kind of like water finding its natural route. It cuts away no matter what to find the most direct path. And so divisions and departments are starting to deploy more and more frequently their own technology. And in some cases, not telling the IT department, or IT department says, that's fine, you know, we go for it, you know. And now you're starting to see IT departments starting to consider embracing shadow IT. But look at organizations like Box, very, very focused on enterprises deploying cloud storage. Slack, around communication collaboration. And so with that, most of that was not deployed by IT departments. Most of those types of solutions are deployed by these departments going, I've got to keep up. And so they deploy it, and it becomes a virus within the company. Eventually, IT finds out about it and says, you know, now what do we do? And I think now you're starting to see IT departments finding ways. How do we make friends with shadow IT? How do we make this work for us and become innovative again?
And then, so your guys' product is a vehicle to help that happen?
It sort of, think of it, it deploys in a very similar fashion. So let's imagine that an IT department, they'll typically get, I'll use a fictitious company, the Acme company. Their IT department may have 100 things on their list that they have been approved to go do, and then they'll stack rank those based on their impact to the company. This is actually from a real conversation from a very, very large enterprise that we've had conversations with. So obviously not called the Acme company. Let's say Acme company will add, has 100 things on their to-do list, and in a quarter, they'll take 10 items off, and then 20 items will enter onto the list. And in this particular case, really cool, interesting, very telling story. A department who had added something onto this list, a very simple need. They wanted to inspect something in a new, innovative way. They wanted to take a picture of it. They wanted to grab the information about it. They wanted to be able to find out if this was causing a problem for them. So they put this forward. It got approved, gets onto the list, sends it to IT. A quarter goes by and it doesn't get done. So that person, department head, calls IT and says, hey, what happened to my my product I wanted? Is that coming? And they said, absolutely, it's on the list. Okay. So the next quarter, the same thing. 10 things come off, 20 items go on. Item gets stack ranked, and they do the things at the top. They don't do the other things. And you can imagine the department head doesn't get his thing done. He thinks it's very innovative and a cool idea. And certainly got approved. And he calls again and says, okay, what's going on? And they go, no, it's still on the list. We got other things. And so this department head's getting pretty frustrated. In the third quarter, you can imagine the same thing happens. He goes, that's it. And he said, well, is this ever going to get done? And IT department goes, no, it's not going to get done. You know, not when we're hiring $400 an hour developers, you know, $200 an hour developers. In the case of something like SAP, $600 an hour developers, we're just not going to do this. It's just never going to get to the top. And what we found was that so much of this that are on these lists of these organizations that they have to get done are pretty simple work processes. I want to do this. I want to collect this information and I want this to happen. Well, imagine that you could do it yourself, that you could find a way without needing to have IT collect this information, write a work process that would typically, in a very, very expensive system, cost a lot of money or be very complex and need a developer. And you want to not only automate the data collection portion, but you want to be able to get the information to where you want it to go. You wanted to share it. And then you wanted to learn something from it. You wanted to have some analytics to come with that too. If you could do all of that yourself and you could change it on the fly and automate it on the fly and learn something about your business and share and move the data where you want it to go without needing IT support, without having to have it, but it'd be great if you had a little bit of it. But you could do that yourself. And so that's really where we've come in, is that many of our largest implementations started with a division of that company saying, I need some help. I'm going to do it myself.
You're the guys who come in and help the frustrated department head who can't get one side of the political part of the bureaucracy going. So you just basically do it yourself, and you supply that department head with the information needed to get their goal done.
Absolutely. But imagine this. We don't even have to do it ourselves. Because the platform is do-it-yourself, and in our particular world, 95-98% of everybody who finds us is inbound. They found it through word of mouth. They found it in iTunes or Google Play or through a Google search. And so when they find it, they sign up for their own free trial and they go, let me explore this. And they go, oh, this is really easy. And so they do it themselves. They automate their own processes. They determine how they're going to share the information, and then they can put together the necessary systems so that they can learn about it themselves. And so they take on the cost, not IT, of automating these processes. And then we watch what our community is building. You know, we get a chance to understand, retail organizations, they're needing a lot of help and automation. Let's make sure we've got the right content and the right features that support them. And there's something like 31 very popular verticals for our product, everything from education to retail and healthcare.
But what do you do about security to make sure that what you are providing a department head fits into the overall security of the entire IT structure?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that seems to be one of the top concerns and reasons why IT departments say, hey, don't deploy something until we approve it, because we want to make sure the security is going to meet the needs of our organization. Well, two of the original four co-founders of our company came from VeriSign back at the time when we were at VeriSign. VeriSign was considered the champion of internet security, and so we were extremely focused on data collection and transportation security. So what we did almost nearly from the beginning was we built a product that was HIPAA high tech certified, so you could collect medical information on it. We encrypted the information and rest on the devices and in our servers and in communication. We go through regular third party audits of our system to make sure that those organizations that say, hey, listen, my IT department now is getting involved, can we learn more about the security of your system? They can go online and actually do their own investigation.
George, your thoughts about all of this?
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense. Usually it's a us versus them when we start talking about shadow IT. And I think what James is talking about here is, you know, let the innovation happen, but do so in a way that makes IT feel both comfortable and, I guess, to some extent, in control.
If you were an IT person with this, you know, from the days when you were in the data center, how would you handle something like Canvas?
What's interesting is I would probably still want to go through my normal processes to make sure that I've got the security aspects handled and things like that. But then it sounds to me, and James, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me like I could, once I sort of approve your platform, I could let my people run with it, and I don't have to approve every little thing that they do with your platform. Is that fair?
That's an awesome way of sort of summarizing it, is that what we're seeing is, and sort of, let's say, advocating for, is our IT departments to go, listen, why don't I do an overarching, real quick understanding of the security and how I might integrate against your platform, and then take what would have been $600, $200 hour developers and all the burden of ongoing upkeep from these changes, and push that out to department heads and departments, and say, tell you what, if you want to go do that type of inspection, that estimate, that testing, that sale of an item, you guys do it yourself. You decide when you want to be innovative and you want to change something at 3 p.m. that you wrote at 10 in the morning, you want that type of iterative innovation. You guys know best your businesses. We don't know your business better than you do. You're our customers. Why don't we turn this over to you? You can get back to being innovative again, and we'll go back to making sure we're giving you the right tools and put those processes in place.
You started this company with a couple of people who you've done business with before. You have a deep history in startup. This group, this team, why now?
Yeah, and I will say part of the reason for sort of our fast growth now, as much as I'd love to say we had the right team and the right product, certainly a lot of experience in mobile and wireless, but a lot of this was, I would just say, is luck of timing too, is that when we started building this, we really felt that the consumerization of what was happening in tech was really going to start flowing in the mobile space into business. And lo and behold, the iPhone takes off, Android comes out, and organizations are more rapidly deploying mobile, you know, mobile technology. There was a time, hard to believe now, but when the BlackBerry and before the BlackBerry with things like the Palm Pilot and the first Windows mobile devices way back in the day, that there was a lot of people counting on mobile technology being the next big thing, and it just never did. It was very, very slow growing for a long time. Certainly BlackBerry had its day around email, but as a platform for really solving business problems, it really took the consumer world to help drag the business world around. So part of this was we saw some of those trends happening, and we got lucky too.
Like the iPhone and the iPad are the things that really made this take off, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say Google and Apple really building smart platforms, and then certainly in tablets. As much proliferation as we had with smartphones, when the tablet came out, it moved even faster for businesses.
I look on your leadership team on your website, and most people have like 4 or 5 people. You have 60. Is that your entire workforce? Why so many people in the leadership team? I find that rather interesting.
Yeah, we've got a very there's actually probably more than that. It's actually it shouldn't say leadership now. It should say team. We have a very unique culture, one of which is that it's a fairly flat organization. I'm a huge believer that hierarchical organizations stop innovation, and you can imagine, with our own product being very focused on rapid innovation within companies, we've spent a good deal of time and research on organizations that have maintained high levels of innovation. And as part of that, we've tried to maintain as flat an organization as possible, especially around product innovation. So as part of that, we make everyone not only is an owner, but is empowered to feel like an owner and act like an owner. And so we made the decision early on that our leadership team, or more importantly, just our team, that we list everybody in the company there. So yeah, there's some 72 or so odd employees today.
That's cool. What's the future of what you do?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things going on. Well, first of all, I think this whole idea of data in the cloud, which, you know, you could say Box and certainly Dropbox and Google Drive have, you know, made very popular. That trend was starting 4 or 5 years ago. And I think what you're going to see is this next thing happen is that's great and people recognize that. But it's going to be around how people get work done. And this idea that, hey, my business, I'm a doctor's office, so I guess I'll buy a doctor's office piece of software now and automate my business. I think what we're seeing is, and I actually liken this back to a couple consumer products too, is the rise of things like Minecraft, the kid's game where you build your own environment, and now Mario Maker, you know, one of the most popular games that have recently come out by Nintendo, which you can build your own Mario game. I think people have realized, hey, this is great for my business. I could buy this one thing, but my business is different. And part of how I differentiate myself is through my technology. And because technology becomes the language of your innovation, and becomes the language of how you differentiate. Therefore, you want to differentiate yourself by using technology. And I think as that's happening, and you're seeing this with products like Salesforce, which certainly there's lots of sales automation software for different industries, and Salesforce has shown you, or we could deliver you a platform where you could do this yourself. And I think you're going to see that with work processes, that you're not going to need something incredibly complicated like the big ERP systems always. This isn't a complete truism. And you're also not going to necessarily, hey, I'm going to buy this off-the-shelf piece of software for my business and it you know, I should do work like they do. I think that is going to become one of the next big things you're going to see, and it will be as big as what's happening in the cloud storage world. I think that's a huge trend that you're going to see play out over the next 2-3 years.
James Quigley is the Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of Canvas. James, thanks for joining us today.
No worries. Thanks for your time, gentlemen.
For George Crump and James Quigley, I'm Charlie Hodges. Thanks for joining us on the Storage Podcast.
For more, go to StorageSwiss.com.